Welcome to our podcast. This is Victor Fonov, and I'm the lead pastor here at Whitefields Church. Our focus is to help you grow relationally and spiritually. Enjoy the message.
So I just so thankful that Bob took us through history of the United States and just understanding the roots of the foundations of our nation, that they were just so godly based. And it's such an honor to understand, because a lot of times the fruits, it doesn't take much to look at somebody's life and to see like, hey, what's the line of family you come from? And to quickly realize why certain people are blessed is because of the roots, parents' prayers, other things that came, the prayers that came before us. They're very powerful. Amen? I'm going to open up with John 15, chapter 15, verse 1 through 11. This passage is so deep and so good. You can preach all throughout the year on it. I've preached previously a few times, including this passage, but it's just really just resonated in my spirit to release that today. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He's a good, good father, but he's a good, good gardener too. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. A little intense there, right? While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Somebody say nothing. Nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Man, that is good on its own. Throughout these 11 verses, you hear the word remain 11 times. So 11 verses and 11 times, Jesus reiterating the word remain. And something profound about remain. And the title of my message is Remain to Reign. And it will make more sense because while we're here on earth, we got to reign. God has given us dominion to live, to take every thought captive. God didn't create us to be defeated. Why? Because he already created us in his image. Not only that, he gave us the victory through the cross. Amen? I remember often my dad would say in the moments, crucial moments in my life, he said, son, just keep remain and serve where you're needed. And it was a season where I've learned to remain in God's presence and understanding the depth of what the secret place is before the Lord. And because when I did, I received clarity to what I needed to do next. It's amazing how a lot of times you're thinking, I got a lot of trouble, I got a lot of things, but the moment you take time and you rest in God's presence, you get into that place and you pour out your heart before him, just all of a sudden that weight comes off and you're starting to understand you have somebody that is greater above every other problem that you're looking at. It's got a vantage point from Heavenly Father's perspective, right? And I'm looking at this way and God sees it from the top. Says, my son, don't be troubled. My daughter, stay with me, right? But how many know that God's ways are always greater than my ways, right? Isaiah makes it pretty clear. It says, as far as heaven is from earth, that's how far my ways are above your ways and your thoughts above my thoughts. His ways are higher. His ways are better. His plans is never to harm us, right? But to prosper us. He says that all throughout the scripture. But it's in the secret places where God reveals to us amazing things. The trouble is we'll get in, we'll pour out our Amazon list before God and just say, Lord, I need this, I need that, and that. And before God could speak, we're already out of the room. And we don't get this time to actually wait and listen for God's voice. I'm telling you, as a Christian, growing up in a Christian home too and loving God, that's something that needs to be developed and taught with time. And I I began to understand the value of remaining in God's presence. Another translation says abide, to remain in God's presence. Amen. And it got me thinking, what if those seasons when I walked away, because it's easy to quit. It doesn't take much skill to quit, right? We're living in a generation of quitters. Someone disagrees with you, your church, you're like, screw this, I'm going to another church. That pastor's preaching way too heavy. I'm not ready to get hit with this kind of truth. Not today, right? So if my spouse disagrees, I'm done. I just walk away. So we have this thing, and we're missing the point of refinement, because a lot of times as iron sharpens iron, a place God puts us in the position to refine the gift within us. But we miss the purpose because we're too ready to walk away and quit rather than remain and wait on what God wants to do in that situation. Amen? Are you with me? It's been burning in my heart, and I just really want to release that to the church. But I believe God is raising up an army. We heard this prophetically this morning to Prophet Nancy, that God is raising up an army. And I believe God is raising up an army of bold leaders. Yes. Not cowardly leadership. Bold leadership that is standing firm on God's word. That understands, that can speak to this cancel culture and be like, I know my Redeemer lives. And that is false, right? Who will stand? Elijah stood. He wasn't afraid of all the false prophets. He wasn't afraid of Jezebel. He stood firm because he knew God. He heard his voice because he probably knew how to remain in God's presence. It's easy to recognize somebody's voice when you've been around them enough. Amen? My child will cry on the airplane full of other kids, and I will hear their voice. I will hear that because I've been around them. I've remained in their presence. Are you with me? This is what happens with the Lord, right? There are some things, I must say, you can only receive when you remain in God. There are some things you will never receive if you don't remain in God. So many people are like content just to know about God. To know about God, you can even actually know the law. Pharisees, prime example. Man, they knew scripture left and right. You can know about God, but does that mean that you know him? Does he know you? You know what I mean? Of course, God knows us, but do you have that intimate relationship with God? Amen? So some are content with just showing up to church, but they never get into his presence. This is why sometimes, if you think about it, from your perspective, right? We get more eager and excited. And I love soccer, for example. FIFA World Cup's happening. This is awesome. Rooting for Messi, that's great. You know, but you see the people's passion in the sports and stadiums. They're singing. They're pouring out. Like England versus, who did they play yesterday? Norway. And just the whole time, England is singing. Overall, Norway is tough guys. They're just a tough team. This is where Vikings originated from. Just a bunch of strong men. But you hear this England's crowd continuously singing. Now, if they're singing about their team, that they won't get any benefit out besides just watching them score a goal, how much more? If there's a name of the Lord being proclaimed, how much more did I say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me. How can I not involve my emotions? All those emotions God gave you, they belong to the Lord. Use them for his glory, amen? It is his breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, right? That's what we were singing about. So don't take worship lightly. If you go to church where there's hymns, listen to the words. Let those words hit you deep. Let the worship to the living God who's coming back, who reigns, who will come and will reign forevermore. I get to shout about that. That's okay. People can laugh about it. Sometimes you got to look ridiculous in front of other people. But you know what? David didn't care either. He looked ridiculous, but you know why he had such a thick skin? I say this often. It's because he had such a thin heart before God. He was a childlike son before the Lord, and he danced before the Lord. Oh, that was an exception. I go to Pentecostal, super traditional. We don't do that. That's all right. Well, how do you pour out your heart before God? Man, my jam hit. Sometimes people will listen to their favorite hit, some country song or hit, and like, yeah, I get behind that. And you're like, I wonder if what God, I use my imagination because God gave me an imagination. God gave us a gift. But I can imagine the Lord saying, that's cool. I wish he was like that when we were singing worship songs at the church. I'm going to give it to you heavy. I'm going to give it to you 100, okay? Because I like to receive 100. Many people are content to know about God, but they don't get into His presence. But how many know that God wants to, not just to give you information, He wants to take you. He wants to transform you. He wants to dwell within you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to dine with you. He says He's gently standing at the door knocking to see if someone will hear. Will you open that door? And the Lord, we hear His voice. He's continuously speaking. The trouble is we just get so much, we just keep listening to all the exterior noise. And the Lord's like, but I need you to listen to My voice. And the moment we discover that, when we learn that, and it happens in a secret place when you remain in God's presence, your life will transform. The colors will be brighter in this world. Like your life literally is impacted by what you think, what you say, and what you do. You don't get easily irritated. You begin to just live with the Lord and you move with Him. And He moves wherever you go. You know the kingdom of God is there with you because the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in me. So therefore, I'm not afraid of anything that's happening on the outside. I'm not afraid of tough conversations with my boss or whatever it is. Because you're living in God's presence. You're not moved by emotions. Amen? You're with me. So if you want to learn how to remain you and receive things that others won't, practice going to that secret place. Amen? Say with me. Say remain. Say it like you finished your cup of coffee. Remain. All right. Bob, our elder Bob taught me that. He always reminds me, Vic, did you finish your cup of coffee? I don't know why that ministers to me so much. Just to take that moment and remain in a quiet solitude and just enjoy the little bit of caffeine before you have a go do your day, you know. So, but 11 times through 11 verses, Jesus keeps saying, remain, remain, abide, 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 right? Don't quit, remain. Don't quit, remain. Sometimes the difference between a successful marriage and a failed one is the power of remain. With ministry the same way. I'm thankful for people in my life who I witnessed that went through so many things, but they remained faithful. I look at some pastors that face such difficulties, losing their own children, but they remained faithful to God. Yeah. It's almost like just gold being refined during those moments, right? But despite all the challenges and pain, they remained when things got tough. So don't allow your current struggles to dictate the blessings of the future. Did you catch that? Don't allow the current struggles to dictate the blessings of tomorrow, because God's promises are yes and amen. They're going to happen. But I got to remain within the range, amen, to hear His voice. Guess who gives us the resilience not to quit? This is really good. Holy Spirit. Sealed with Him at the day of our redemption. If you're not sealed with if you don't know the Lord, if you haven't received Him in His life, you're missing out. Yeah. Once you come in, full inheritance comes in. And we have to understand that God has prepared us all these amazing things in our life. The blessings, yes. Troubles, yes, they will come regardless. But Jesus, the difference is you're no longer going to be facing them on your own strength, right? So might as well get under those benefits and blessing and say, Lord, I am your son, I'm your daughter, and I will remain under your covering, under the shelter and the wings of the Almighty. Amen? Hallelujah. I love that it's John who's recording these words of Jesus, and he gets this insight about how to remain. Who else but John isn't just content about being a disciple, right? Or being within an inner circle. I mean, this is the fellow that cuddled up to Jesus. Read your scripture. He literally would lay his head on his chest, right? He would get so close to lay his head and just on his chest, as if I could just get this close to Jesus, I will, right? This is why I said sometimes you got to look ridiculous to get close to Jesus. Because there's always more with God. He gives without measure. He pours out His Spirit from power to power, from strength to strength, right? But what I love about John, he didn't care what others thought. Sometimes you got to be willing to look silly, right? Look ridiculous. Apostle Paul says, we are fools for Christ. Okay? So let that sink in. Next time you try to praise, yeah, but I'm going to look silly. No, just release. This is the safest, the best place to release your emotions and feelings is in the presence of God. Amen? If you're struggling like that, you know, if you're not a pro, if you can't do it in church, do it in your secret place. That was a joke, obviously, about pro guys. We must be a children of God. Like, but that's the reality. That's how we sometimes I've seen. Actually, it came from a testimony when the guy said, "I know, but they're professional Christians." This is coming from a new believer, which was so amazing. He's like, "But they are professional Christians," and he said it so sincerely. But I wanted to laugh on the inside. You know, they've been with God so much. How could I look ridiculous? I'm like, no. Be like these children. That's what Jesus said. He puts the child. He says, if you don't become, you become humble, simple, like a child, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. For such is the kingdom of God. Amen? So John didn't care with what other thought in regards to his closeness to God. So this John, who records these words about remaining, right? Not only that, he gets exiled to the island of Patmos. Talking about favoritism. Out of all disciples, he's the only one that didn't get murdered. I don't know. This is interesting. He talks about his favoritism throughout the scripture. Sometimes like he was running, he outran others, you know, and all a few other things. If you read the scripture, it's kind of fun. Bible is incredible. Read your Bible. Amen. But he gets exiled at the end of the island of Patmos. And even in the isolation alone, God reveals the most deepest things to him. This is where he writes the book of Revelation about all the future things that are coming. Because the reality is God will always give a revelation to the person who remains in him, who seeks his face, right? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." For everyone. Does it say for the selected few? Go to the next verse, right? Verse 8. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone. To the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Come on, hallelujah. Does it say professional Christians there? I don't know. It doesn't. It looks like everyone. Everyone who's willing. Everyone who's willing to come and drink the water. Amen. Who come under the covering of the Lord, who knows how to remain. Don't expect a revelation from God when you have a microwave hot pocket relationship with him. Okay? I'm going somewhere with this. I don't know why God is not revealing anything to me. Like, he doesn't, you hear his voice? Do you hear voice? I don't hear his voice. You hear that, right? It's like, he gets only 2 minutes a week with you, and you're wondering why he's not speaking? Too much too soon, right? But God wants, I don't mean it, maybe because I haven't eaten yet. God wants a crockpot relationship rather than a microwave, right? Relationship. Some single people don't even know what crockpot is. It's okay, until you get married, you understand the fine art of cooking. When I was single, I was all about hot pockets. I'm going somewhere with this, so don't think I'm just trying to be funny or anything like that. But 2 minutes, 12 seconds was the exact time to get a perfect hot pocket. Perfect. But you know what's so amazing about hot pockets, right? It came with that sleeve. And that hot pocket needed to remain. I was going with it, right? It had to remain to get that perfect heat. You do that without that sleeve, if that doesn't remain, it's hot on the outside, cold on the inside. Like a lot of Christians. Promise. Both Christians, not you guys. You guys are amazing. Hot pockets are great, but they don't compare to the crock pot style of meat, you know? You start putting it, like, and it takes a long time. It savors in it, right? You set it in a Saturday. A lot of times we wish our faith was like that, where you just set it and forget it. But that's not how faith operates. But I'm bringing an example, right? You set that need, and it's just cooking in there. And Saturday afternoon, starting to smell. By the evening, you're like, man, whew, that is good stuff, right? And when you pull that out, you don't even have a fork. You just blow on it, like the meat just falls apart. Why? It remained. With all the flavors, it remained. When it remains, it becomes so soft, right? You know why it's so tender? It's because it remained in there, right? And when you remain in God, You become so tender to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You remain in Him. You recognize His voice. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So John reveals this statement about remaining in Jesus, right? This is John's gospel. And it's a little different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. His primary purpose was to reveal Jesus' identity rather than His activity. Like Mark is all about action. If you're reading the Gospels, it's different, four different accounts of Jesus' actions, right? What He did. But His primary first purpose is to reveal His identity. He shows His activity, but He reveals His identity. Because if you don't seek who Jesus is, you will never find who truly you are, who He created you to be, right? And the thing is, as you seek Him, you find you. Yes, you will find Him, but in that secret place and remaining in Him, you find yourself. You discover who God created you to be, right? Culture says, if you want to be you, seek you. Go on a discovery trip. Self-discovery. You hear those kind of things. But when you go on a self-discovery, you just realize how messed up and broken you really are. You're like, man, poor old wretched man. This is what Paul understood, that who we are without Christ, right? The self-discovery, just save yourself that trip. Yeah. Go run into the secret place. This is where you find your true identity, your secret place, when you learn how to remain in His presence. Amen? Yeah. Matthew 16:25. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. You got to lose some stuff. You got to lose this perception of who you are to yourself. Because not only that, we're the biggest critics. And this is one of the biggest things that we're having trouble breaking through in the presence of God. And why there's cyclical patterns, fall into sin, come back. Because we have not discovered, we stood enough in the presence of God, remained in there enough where God says, oh, you are made so much more than this. You are made to do things for my glory. You are my creation. You're not just here to just live in this world and die, build a house, and hopefully, you know, there'll be a generation after me. You are born for such time as this. God entrusted us with this time. This is why we get to understand that God, Lord, you're the creator of all the universe. You've created me for your purpose. He created you and I for His glory. God will share His glory with no man. He made it pretty clear. So next time you look at yourself and you, before you allow enemy to start telling you how terrible you are, look up and listen for the Father's voice. Will He say the same thing? Absolutely not. He will speak life to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Save yourself discovery trip. Scripture tells us to seek first His kingdom, right? His righteousness. And all other things you're chasing for, trying to figure out on your own strength, Roth IRA, investment, whatever, it will be added onto you. But put Him first. Are you with me? Amen. You'll never find you looking for you. That is the key component right here. Seek Him to find yourself. So John gives us these seven I am identity statements from Jesus. And I'm going to list them off. Izzy, I did not put them on the list, so you don't have to worry. I'll just quote it so you know that I'm not taking things out of Scripture. He says, I am the bread and life. That's in John 6:35, if you want to write it down. He says, I am the light of the world, which is John 8:12. I am the door, John 10:9. I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. And the last one he drops on us is so important. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. That is John 15:5. Notice it's all written by John. He was focusing, he wanted to reveal us his identity to us. That He's everything. He's the bread. He's the good shepherd. We're trying to look for all other wrong places to find if I could just do this. But the church aspect is over here. The Lord's like, I got everything you need. I am your shepherd. I am the good vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. But you got to remain in me. This is the most profound one. He lands and says, I am the vine. Of all the most important things, I think this is the most, that carries the most crucial weight. It almost means I am the vine equals the cross is imminent, right? Jesus essentially, right now when he's saying that, he's on his deathbed. He's about to go to the cross. And he's in a secret place with his disciples one-on-one. crowds are no longer there. This is where he's talking to them privately, because God reveals those things in a secret place when you remain, right? And he says, the last thing you should know, right? Even if you forget that I'm a door, I'm the way, and I'm the bread of life. He says, remember this, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now, the connection of vine and branches is essential. It's a matter of life and death, right? We just read about it. What happens with them? They're being just tossed into the fire. That branch will die without the vine. And you will not sustain without God. Simple as that. And so that's why when the trouble hits, because Jesus says the trouble is coming, right? And you can be certain, Satan will be there to finish you, because that's what he does. He already, you're beat up and everything like that. And then Satan comes in, they're like, ha, how did it go? Boom. And finishes you and says, don't even try. That's what Satan does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to what? To give us life and more abundant. Like God, it's opposite. Two kingdoms of God, two kingdoms colliding. Kingdom of God, kingdom of Satan, okay? That's why he warns and he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. It's guaranteed, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So, but if you're not connected to the one who overcame, you're going to be on your own, facing that battle on your own. This is why people, when they face death, and death is imminent for everyone, and they're like destroyed. Certain people, they just can't handle, and then they just they quit on life. They get so depressed because they got no faith and they got no hope, right? But the Lord says, I have overcome the world. That's what he says, don't quit. It's going to get tough. They hated me, they're going to hate you. They slandered me, they're going to slander you, right? They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. That's just guaranteed. As a Christian, you will get persecuted. If you're truly walking out the faith, you're not always going to be like, good job. We can pray anywhere you want, wherever you want. That is not true. Amen? This is why I cherish the United States, why I still pray for this nation more than anything. This is why we have these flags up here to remind us to pray for this nation that God has positioned us in. We're very fortunate, but we need to continually pray. Don't take those freedoms lightly. Amen? This is just a plug in my heart. This is 250th anniversary of the United States. And I cherish this country that welcomed me and my family. Amen? So, but we cannot be our own source. We got to understand that. He is the true vine. That means he is the source, right? As long as I'm remaining in him, I have everything that I need. This is the Lord says, give us today this daily bread. This is what he taught us how to pray. He didn't say for all the future things. God continuously reminded the Israelites and God's people, you need to rely on me this day. Yes. This day that the Lord created, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Do not worry about tomorrow. God's like, remain. Just look what's in front of you. I will be that source for you. Yes. Amen? Yes. This is why Abraham was a father of faith. Why? He says he lived in tents. Faith chapter, Hebrews 11, read about it, right? Since he remained, because he trusted God so much, he was considered a man of faith, not only in the Old Testament, he's talked about in the Hebrews. That is very profound. But we cannot be our own source because he is the true vine, amen? And I'm the branch. John 15:7, let me bring that up again. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Really? Anything? Anything? Yes. Because when you remain in him, you will ask for the right things. People are like, oh, yeah. There's certain things. They're just not going to be, you don't even want them because you know what pleases God and what doesn't. You're not going to be like, I want that, I want that, I want that. Well, you're just like, I get to be in the presence of God. Yeah, I think I need this, but okay, Lord, I need this. Okay, son, here you go. But that's the words of Jesus. He says, if you ask whatever you wish, it'll be done for you, right? But if I remain in God's word, I know what pleases him. I will be a natural byproduct of him. Speaking of that, I want to encourage us what the key component for that to remain, in other words, to stay connected, right? I'm remaining on the vine. I'm protecting. I'm in charge. of my relationship with God. God didn't create us as robots. He gave us free will, right? So I'm the one that could walk away out of range. The next thing you know, you can't. You know, it's I'm responsible. Like you've been with, if you're a parent, you know what that is. How much pleasure it gives you as a father or a mother to know your children are within the range, right? You know that they still love you and I love them. But I absolutely have pleasure having them next to me. Man, especially I go to places in this world, Disneyland and other places, there's evil world out there, stealing children, all sorts of things. But you know, it brings peace to me as a father to know that that's my son, that I have my eyes on you. And from my paw, no one can grasp. But I can run away. God, so it's up to me to stay connected. Amen? Are you with me? Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay. If I don't protect my connection to the vine, I'll only be fruitful to the degree that I'm connected to the vine, okay? Like half broken, it's like barely living, but like, yeah, you know. John 15:5, let me bring that up again. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Let's keep going. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And here it is. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It is his breath. Like, my heart can stop and boom, there goes my life, right? So apart from him, that's how serious our connection must be with him. To understand, fear of God, it means to be afraid of being without God. That's what true fear of God is. My connection to him is just continuous. I go everywhere, how I talk to my spouse, how I talk to my children, how I talk to my friends, how I talk when I'm outside of my circle of friends. It's all impacted because he's my source, amen? Yeah. And that source, if you're connected to that source, he's feeding it. He's taking care of that, amen? He supplies every one of my needs. So Holy Spirit gives us this revelation about this connection. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Without him, you can't be the husband that you need to be. You can't be the wife that God called you to be. You can't even be single in the times we're living in without God, right? Not unless you're speaking in tongues or have words of knowledge about people. Man, people are good at masquerading, right? So I feel for people. You know, this is an important covenant to have. And we have several weddings coming up in our church family, which is praise God. But you can't do anything apart from the Lord. It is a difficult world out there. And if Satan wants to devour you, that's the reality, right? He's seeking who he can devour. He just faced trouble. That's what Satan does. He looks for us. He attacks. He attacks the weak. He attacks your weakness. Amen? Sometimes I think we can do something without God. Like, it's interesting because I used to have this perception. This is spiritual. And anything car related, this is non-spiritual. This is physical. So I don't pray about it. I used to think that, right? But God shall supply my every need. And all other things. It doesn't say some spiritual things. All other things will be added on. Yeah. Sometimes we think we got this figured out. We'll be on our own. Like my son Lev, the youngest one, he's in the stage right now. Lev is in the back. Hi, Lev. I miss you, son. I haven't seen him for some time. I love you, son. But he's in the stage where, like, he wants to do everything by himself. I got it. No, thanks, Dad. I got it. Son, need me to help you put on these pants? Nope, I got it. Walk away out of the door. Papa, I need you. Papa, I need you. I walk in. He's got two legs and one pant hole. Like, he's like, help, Pop. Right? And I tell him, I'm like, son, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's funny how it looks sometimes, right? But this is what we look like sometimes before the Lord. Yes. Stepped out on your own strength. Without God, no wonder things get tough. Like, Dad, help! As soon as we get away from that range, right? So my job as a parent is to take a child from dependency and develop him into independency, right? This is what in this world we do. So we're training them. Those things are good. And the test of their maturity is can they remain without me? That is why parents celebrate, and it's a big deal when they see their parents, when they see their kids getting married. They're like, we did it. Hallelujah. The next phase, right? Now let's pray for the rest. In the kingdom of God, it's a completely opposite. We talked about upside down kingdom. God wants to take us from total dependency and bring us to total independency, meaning dependency in our own self to dependency on Him. Are you with me, right? He wants to take us from total independence to complete dependence on Him. So why do you have to stay connected to Him? Why? What's the key component that John is trying to hit a home run with? He says, so you can bear fruit. That's the whole purpose in life, is to bear fruit. That, you know, that if we look around the world, and because people will do all sorts of various things, but there's one thing we can figure out on any situation, or it's okay to observe other families. I'm not talking about comparison. I'm talking about looking at others and observing what's working, what's not. It's absolutely normal. But one of the things that we have to understand is when we look at other people and you just see what are they doing in their life. And a lot of times what it comes down to is like these people, they spend time with the Lord. And they could face so many troubles, but you're like, man, like their faith is just resilient, right? But the whole purpose, one of the key components we can discover and look at, it says the fruit. By the fruit we shall know, right? By the fruit. It says by the love for one another. Love is one of the fruits. Because the Lord is checking for fruit. He is. Did you know that you're building the kingdom of God? Like what's happening in eternity now, right? Your actions, your life right now is how you're building the house in eternity. Because He's checking for your fruit. He's not checking about how you shout and how you appear before the others. He's checking for the fruit. What fruit is He looking for? Raspberries, oranges? No, no, no. We're talking about fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit. Here we go. There's love. This is the kind of fruit, the fruit that we need to produce as believers. By the fruit of the Spirit. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Jesus is saying, I'm looking for that perpetual fruit in your life. And you should be able to look back on years upon your life and be like, wow, we made some progress, right? The trouble is, when we're trying to do it on our own strength, we can't produce fruit because we're not learning how to remain in His presence, to walk with Him, to dwell with Him. Amen? Check yourself. Say, am I more patient than I am than last year? Practical questions. Do I have more self-control this year? You can read any of those things. Forbearance. Do I have more peace? Do I have more goodness than I do last year? Do I have more faithfulness? Am I more gentle? Right? Bottom line is, you produce fruit only if you're staying connected to the vine. So Jesus says, if you remain in me. Want to know what you produce on your own? not even have to try. Like, but it's a whole can of worms. Two verses before that, it talks about works of the flesh. I'm going to read it. The acts of flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is the works of the flesh. This is you don't even have to try. You drift naturally. If you go on a boat, when you're moving, in order to move, you gotta go. The moment you shut off your engine, you just naturally drift. You don't even have to try to drift. You drift on your own. Right? So, this is why we must remain in God. Amen? God's saying, if you remain in me, you'll produce fruits like that. Now, if you're looking at that and say, do I still get a report card when I'm 50? Like, pull that previous, the next one, Galatians 5, 22, verse 23. Just, I want that to be up front so we can kind of see, some of the things, right? Yeah. 50 years, 60 years old, doesn't matter. God wants a report card. But don't let that stress you out. Like, report card, what is Vic talking about? Well, the fruit, he's looking for the fruit. And I know it's a challenging word, but I must say there's something that in the spiritual realm takes place when we begin to understand the depth. Because you're not being a testimony to God when you're just going to church, but you're cussing like a sailor. Your lifestyle hasn't changed. You cannot bring glory to His name. You're not bearing fruit. That's why the Lord says, hey, I reward those who diligently seek me, right? He talks about that. There's investment into the kingdom of God, and there's rewards for those that belong to Him. Amen. The ones that literally just live with Him. And the cool thing, this is why you shouldn't stress out. You're like, report God, what? Don't stress out. Why? I've used this example before. An orange tree doesn't need to strain to produce orange trees. Okay? It doesn't go like, orange. Like, where the apple tree doesn't strain to produce apple. The fruit is the byproduct of what that fruit is attached to. Okay? Are you with me? Okay? That means fruit should never be a burden of the branch. It should be the byproduct of connection to the vine. Pretty straightforward, amen? I remain in the Lord. The fruit is a byproduct. Ryan, my son Ryan, doesn't need much to try to be like me. He's my son. Some people look at him, they're like, Vic 2.0. He's a byproduct of my connection with him. I'm his father, right? And there's things that his faith is untainted. He sees me pray for things. His prayers are bold. He sees me doubting. He starts doubting. He's a byproduct of my connection to him. Amen? Amen. This is why constant connection to God is essential, right? I'm responsible, but God is not going to force that connection. I'm responsible to remain within the range. Jesus wants us to bear fruit because the fruit is for this world to witness, to all those that are around you. It's beyond you. The fruit, it speaks volumes. It ministers. And people a lot of times, you don't even need to shout about it. You need to go out there and preach. You know Jesus. Hey, shut up. You need to come to know Jesus. You've seen that? That's what people do. Sorry if that sounds intense. But they'll do that. They'll yell at their child and they'll be like, Jesus loves you. Like, I don't even know if you truly love your son. Do you see what I mean? The fruit needs to follow. Church, I'm just being real. Like, there's things, when I began to pay attention, my mind understood that, like, hey, I must bear fruit. I must bear fruit. Something began to change in my life. I actually started understanding, wait a minute, it comes from my remaining in God. I don't even need to strain. I just simply need to go into my secret room, close the door, and that is the place, a holy of holies, connection with the Lord. Amen? Scripture tells us you are the salt to the world. You are the city upon the hill. Paul says in the New Testament, he says, you're the letter being read by others. So there's a reason God is talking about we must bear fruit. And the purpose of the fruit is to be eaten or enjoyed by others. A fruit that's eating itself is rotting. Okay? Religious people are very good at that, right? The Pharisaical people, you know what I'm talking about. None of you. We don't do that, you know. People can know scripture. They can have, they're a Sunday school alumni. They got all of everything figured out. But they never exercise their faith. They know how to quote scripture, but they don't know how to speak life. Like, they're just walking around like just a sword of the spirit. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. Give them a way out. Lead him to green pastures. Say, God loves you. He's 100% grace, but he's 100% truth. But we can't do one without the other. Amen? They have the logos. They don't have the rhema. They got the word, but they just don't have the spirit of the word, right? These types of people were Jesus' number one opposition. And these are the kind of people that actually crucified Jesus. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read that, but you can actually pull it up in Matthew 23, 27 through 28, so you can see that. He warns, he says, woe to you, teachers and Pharisees of law, right? And he calls them whitewashed tomb. In other words, you're rotting fruit. You're pretty good on the outside, but on the inside, you're dying because there's no life flowing through you, right? And this is why religious spirit is very demonic, and it suffocates the spirit of God. We have to understand that. So don't be like these whitewashed tombs, right? bear fruit in the secret place, right? Remain and reign. He's the vine, I am the branches. But then he brings another dynamic here, right? He, in 15:1, pull up John 15:1. I'm wrapping up. Stay with me. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you in this moment. He says, I'm the true vine and my Father is a gardener. This is what we started with, right? He's not just a father, but he's also a gardener. And as a good gardener, he knows the vitality and the importance of the soil that you're surrounded by. So why your proximity matters, who you hang out with matters. That's why surround yourself with people of faith. Amen? Because that also impacts your fruit, your harvest. But I love that the Lord knows how to take my misery and turn it into a message. This is what I love about the Lord. He knows how to take this mess that I am, and he actually uses the fertilizer as a fertilizer. That is my testimony. This is who I was, but now this is who I am, right? This is, God is an amazing gardener. That's why I never discount, you know, those things. You come to the Lord at 50, 55, you're like, that's a beautiful thing. God knows how to use that all prior to the years that you did not know him, didn't walk with him. He knows how to use that for his glory. So don't feel discouraged in any way, right? But one of the things that as a good gardener, his description is also, he's in the ministry of cutting. And we talked about, right? John, bring up 15:2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Church, that's a warning for us as a church family. This is why I say God cares about the fruit that we bear, amen? Because he wants to impact the people that are around us. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So any branch that is dead, things that are attached to you, that are sucking life out of you, dead things that you've learned to live with, God wants to cut those things out of your life for your own good. For your own good, right? And sometimes you have to prune the dead branch where it's positioned. Like if certain places, if they're not cut, when they fall, they could be deadly. They can kill somebody. This is why I thank God when he pruned me in life before I grew and there was more influence. I thank God. God is so gracious. He does that. So next time you're like, oh man, this doesn't feel good. Maybe this message right now doesn't feel good. But deep inside, you know deep inside, God cares about you more than anyone in this world. And not only that, he wants to bring forth fruit through your life. Amen? Then he takes it deeper in the second part of that verse. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So not only am I going to cut what's dead, I'm also going to prune or cut the one that is already bearing fruit. If you think about it logically, like, doesn't make sense. But if you're a gardener, you understand that the power in that, right? And you're thinking, things that are not even dead, Lord, it seems like I'm already doing things, right? But he says, I'm pruning things that you thought you need. So you can become even more fruitful because God is more concerned about your growth than he is about your comfort. He is more concerned about your life than about your feelings. He cares about future generations that are going to come after you. And next time there's cutting happening, I've realized it hurts. When you cut certain branches, they start to almost like cry, like the liquid is being released. They're crushing. But those are the most refining moments. Not at that moment. At that moment, it's painful. That's why sometimes you lose and experience certain losses to a certain level. God removes certain people, certain things in our life, and it hurts. But God says, I care more about the fruit that you're going to produce in the future. You're looking at 2027. God is already looking at 2037. God is so good. Amen? You got to trust him with the cutting, right? He's the God who blesses, but he's the God that cuts too. And I've learned that. And that's amazing God that we serve. And I know that anything that my Father cuts, he's cutting it to bring purpose in my life. But most importantly, glory for his name. And that's why when we stand before the throne of God one day, he says, son, welcome. Daughter, welcome. power of the fruit, right? It comes with remaining in Christ. So in this world, yes, we read about it. You will have trouble. So it's like, how do I reign? How do I have dominion in this life? Well, it comes from remaining in Him. I want to read these last two passages over you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, thank you, Lord. Apostle Paul says to Timothy, here's a trustworthy saying. I like that opening. If we died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. It's my decision, right? How I'm connected. How much do I remain in God? But look at this. This same John that recorded this, 11 times Jesus said, remain within 11 verses. This is the same John in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 10. He says, you have made them to be kingdom and priest to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth. We don't know all the details about Lord's return, what He's doing, all the details, post-millennial, pre-millennial, it don't matter. Jesus is coming. But if when you remain in Him, that's one thing I know, you can reign in this world. The devil doesn't let doubt, he doesn't take the foot off a pedal to go after you, to try to destroy you, not only to destroy you, he's trying to destroy a lineage, a generation. Perhaps you came in the line where like there was nothing, and now you came to know the Lord. And I know multiple people like that, even in our own midst, that had no clue about God, they didn't want anything to do with God. Then they found Christ, and they became that testimony. Something about God that He loves is He loves to take and work through the brokenness of people. He loves to take people that like seemed like had no future. He takes a woman like Rahab, who's a prostitute in Babylon, and says, you know, she did that little thing she did, protecting those two soldiers. King of David's going to come, and the Son of God's going to come. Never discount the greatness of God and what He can do with your mess, with your situation. The key component is to walk away from that and enter into the presence of God and say, Lord, here I am. That's it, Lord. And just remain in that presence, within proximity of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have that connection, if you have not truly experienced that transformative power of the Holy Spirit, this is your time. Right where you're at. Like, I really just want to pray for you. Because I know majority of people are saved here, but you also, there's Christians who lived all their life, went to church, did the whole thing, but they never truly encountered the power of the Holy Spirit. They never encountered that resurrecting Spirit. So if that's you, you want to renew that before, just say, Lord, here I am. Okay? Right where you're at. I'm not going to ask you to come up forward. However, that is available for you afterwards. The reason I say this, because Scripture doesn't talk about altar calls. People do that. It's great. And I love that. There's nothing wrong with it, against it. Just, there's so many people that need work. So many Christians that need work of the Holy Spirit in their life. God is reviving His church. He's refining His bride. But if that's you, just as a posture of surrender, just across this room, just lift up those arms to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I give it all to You. I want to remain in Your presence. I don't want to be distracted by every form of narrative, noise around this world. Lord, I am Your son. I am Your daughter. And I know that, Lord, You can do the impossible. You can take what is broken right now and heal me, restore me. God wants You to release forgiveness in this moment. There's plenty of people here today that have not forgiven, released that forgiveness to others. And you were in the right. You were in the position. You were sinned against. But do something so profound that Jesus says, if you do not forgive, My Father in heaven will not forgive you. Release that, even with a little bit of faith. Say, Lord, I don't know, it hurts, but I'm going to release that. Some of you have been pruned in this season right now, and you're wondering, man, this hurts. I don't understand. I don't have clarity. I don't even know what's going to happen 2 months from now. God sees you, and he's speaking to you right now. Put your hand, if that's you, put your hand on your heart right now as a symbol, and the Lord wants to move in your heart, not just in this moment, but outside of that. He wants to transform you, renew your mind. Holy Spirit, I pray, would you touch that person that's devastated and pressed by this world? Lord God, perhaps they're experiencing pruning. Perhaps you've removed certain people from their life for a purpose, Lord, because you want them to flourish in the courts of our God, Lord. You want them to flourish. Father, I just pray a healing touch over them right now in the moment. Lord, move in their lives in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray for every person that has not yet encountered you right now. Lord, if that is them, Lord, I pray over them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for total surrender to your presence, Lord, just to walk in and embrace the love of the Father who's standing there with arms open wide saying, come, son, come, my daughter, come to me. I have greater plans for you, not for your destruction, but for your provision, plans to flourish you. Thank you, Lord, for every heart that's making that decision right now. Holy Spirit, would you move on them right now in this precious moment? Powerfully, Lord. Let them come to full, total surrender. And that when they wake up tomorrow or throughout the rest of the week, they know they belong to you, Father. I pray that they would be grounded in the house of the Lord, that they would join a church family and become, Lord, those stewards of the house of God. Bless them so they can flourish, so they can grow, so they can remain, Lord, in you and in God's family. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor, Lord God. I know that we're excited and for this new season. We will bear fruit because greater is he that is in me than he who's in the world. He has seated us in the heavenly realms, Lord God. We thank you. And you tell us if we remain, we will reign here on earth, Lord, for your glory until you return and take us home, Lord, or whatever you want to do, Lord, whether you're going to renew this earth or you're creating a new earth, Lord, we trust you. That's beyond our pay grade. All we do is we're just coming to surrender to you, Lord. You love us. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you receive something from God today, give him a shout of praise. This is about God and what he wants to do in our life. Amen. God bless you. Have an amazing rest of the week.
Thank you for listening to our message. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, please visit whitefieldsalaska.com. Thank you.